Hello, I'm Claire Poole, and welcome to the Climate of Sport podcast, the show in which you get the inside track on all things sport and sustainability globally. Join me every week where I'll be chatting to a special guest about news, opinion, and insights on how sport is moving to a more environmentally friendly future or taking action on climate change. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Climate of Sport podcast with me, Claire Poole. I am delighted to be with you for this episode and joined today by Kim Stone, president of the UBS Arena in New York in the United States. Kim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Claire. It's a real pleasure to join you.
Oh, it's lovely. So UBS Arena in New York, home to the ice hockey team, the New York Islanders. For any of those ice hockey fans out there, you'll know it well. So firstly, Kim, what we always do on the pod is start off hearing a little bit about you. I'd love for you to just share a sort of brief 2-minute potted history of your extensive and illustrious career through to where you are now and the role you're in.
Well, that's very kind of you, Claire. So I'll go backwards. That's easiest. So currently president of UBS Arena, as you mentioned, in New York, have been there for about a year, and we're just coming up on our 2-year anniversary, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit. But prior to that, I have been general manager both at Chase Center, which is out in San Francisco. It's the home of the Golden State Warriors of the National Basketball Association. And there I opened that beautiful building in 2019, only to then have to shutter it because of COVID 7 months later. But we got it back open. So that's Chase Center. And then before that, spent the vast majority of my career with the Miami Heat in various executive roles, but probably the longest tenured role was general manager for what is now Kasaya Center, which is home of the Miami Heat, which is, again, another National Basketball Association team. And so in Miami, we had the great honor to be one of the first arenas that earned LEED certification for building and operations. And so that's where I sort of cut my teeth and learned about the value of sustainability and being a good corporate citizen. So that's sort of a very brief overview of my history and my career. So this is my third stop, third major market in the United States. I really enjoy it. It's been a nice, wonderful challenge, but this building is taking sustainability to the next level, and it has just been something I'm really passionate about.
Incredible. So, I mean, so many incredible teams, franchises, stadium that you've worked for, they're very recognizable names. So it's incredible to hear a little bit from you about, we want to hear about the here and now, obviously, and what's happening, but also sort of leaning into your tenure within the highest possible level of professional sports in the US as well, and your experience around that. So just to start off, I think what's probably going to be helpful for people is to understand what your role is at the UBS Arena. You're the president, you know, that's the highest it gets, Kim. But tell us, what does that entail? You know, what's your role within that? And then after that, we'll talk about how that intersects with sustainability.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So every day is different because I oversee every aspect of the building. It's a business, right, at the end of the day. So we have revenue producing areas such as our premium ticket sales. We have corporate partnerships. I mean, our name is UBS Arena. So UBS put their name on our building. So responsible for managing that relationship and nurturing it, making sure the activations get done in the proper way. So premium sales, ticket sales, partnerships. And then that's sort of the revenue component side of it. Oh, well, I how can I forget? The other most important revenue piece is our event revenue. So these are the profits we make off of shows. We have family shows, concerts, Islanders games. We do about 130 events a year so far, and we're just 2 years old. So we're just getting started. And right now we have our Disney on Ice run, which is a family show that the Feld puts on. So we have a little bit of something for everybody on programming. So I oversee those revenue areas. So again, premium partnerships and events. Also, food and beverage is part of that as well. It's a big component of the experience, and it's a big component of our revenues as well. And so there's the revenue side, and then there's the operation side, which is the day-to-day operation. So this is where sustainability falls. We have a general manager, Mike Shortina, who is passionate about this, about sustainability. But in addition, we have security, housekeeping, guest services, engineering, operations. Because as you mentioned, we have ice. So we have an ice crew that makes sure they maintain the proper temperatures and the high quality ice that's required for the NHL. So it's really two hats. It's a revenue hat and it's an operations hat. And that's why no day is the same.
Amazing. That's incredible. And I think one of the things that strikes me already, like within your role, and then you mentioned you're really passionate GM as well about, as we talk about the sustainability facet, you know, how much easier it makes things when you've got people at the very top who get this and understand the importance. So to hear, like, from your perspective already, that from a presidential and a GM side, that you're joined up in that is awesome to hear. And I know we're going to dig into that a little bit more as well. But where I want to come back to just for a second is, you mentioned the 2-year anniversary. So, like, there's obviously, as you said, and you're growing, you know, 130 events a year already and only 2 years in. But tell us about the progress of that, you know, what's gone on in those 2 years and how that's manifested.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so Oakview Group built UBS Arena. And believe it or not, they did it during COVID, which is just a monumental feat. And Oakview Group is also dedicated to sustainability and doing sustainability right. So it's core to our DNA. So that's who, at the end of the day, that I work for is Oakview Group. And so we run and manage UBS Arena. And so what we've been able to do is, even though it was COVID, it was a really hard time. But coming out of COVID, we have really, in 2 years, accomplished much more than in the 2 years when I was out at Chase Center opening up the Chase Center for the Golden State Warriors. And it's just because we have a dedicated team of folks that are working really hard. So some of the things that we've accomplished, I already mentioned the show count that we have. This past spring was really sort of a microcosm of our success because we had the New York Islanders made the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, which was exciting. And we had our first win, which was just a thrill. And that was in April. We also had major musical acts such as K-pop, Twice, and Suga. So some people in your audience may know those bands. And so we are also happy that in the first 2 years, we've had 23 sellouts. So these are shows like Bruce Springsteen, Harry Styles, Blink 182, the list goes on. And what we're super excited about is on New Year's Eve this year, we're having Billy Joel, who is a Long Island native, return to Long Island, play a New Year's Eve show at UBS Arena. And we're excited for that. That's another sold out show. We're going to break all kinds of records for tickets and food and beverage and stuff. So we're really starting to hit our stride, Claire, I guess is my message, is the programming is really coming along. We just announced this week that we have Drake, and Drake is a, you know, global icon in, you know, music. He sort of transcends music and culture. So we're super excited to have him coming in this spring. So it's really been about our sellouts. It's been about establishing ourselves in the marketplace. We, in New York, where we are in Metro New York, there's four other very capable venues that have been here for quite some time. And so we really have a super competitive marketplace, but we're really finding our niche. And really just at 2 years old, we're really starting to find our stride. So we pride ourselves in providing an amazing guest experience. I know we'll talk about one of the most important things we've done in that 2 years is we built the first Long Island Railroad station in 50-year history of the Long Island Railroad. And that has had a dramatic impact on our sustainability efforts, but also it opened 1 year ago and it started out with about 10% ridership. And we're now proud a year later, we are steadily having 30% of our attendees take the train. So you see the adoption has been fantastic in a short period of time. So I can, the list goes on and on about what we've done in 2 years, but I think those are the ones that we're most proud of.
That's awesome. And already I can hear that integration with public transport is obviously such a cornerstone of sustainability within major venues. And I know from a Eurocentric perspective, we often take for granted public and active transport options around our venues. North America being so large, it isn't always as easy. But obviously a venue near a city, it's great to be able to have that station. And obviously, I'm sure that was a collaborative effort to get the Long Island Railroad station open at your arena, which is awesome. So I'd love to come back to that. But also, you mentioned like so many incredible artists, and we're obviously recording this November 23. So anyone listening back, Billy Joel in New York in New Year's Eve. Like that's a bucket list lifetime thing. So we're all very, I think I speak for the audience, they were all very jealous of that, Kim. But again, I think what's really fascinating to me around that is we're hearing more and more, you know, I'm hearing more and more that major artists have sustainability riders. They're asking their venues what they're doing on sustainability. And I think that's fascinating as well of the artists you're attracting, because again, going forward, especially artists that are activated in this space, they are naturally going to look for venues that meet their ethos. So you're on, it's amazing that you're on that right foot. So again, just segueing from that of maybe what artists in the future are going to ask for about what you do, how does the building already operate for sustainable practices, and how are you set up to build those in already?
Oh, I appreciate that. It is, as I mentioned, you know, working for Oak Beard Group, it's in our DNA to care deeply about sustainability. So there's a deep integration of sustainability standards within our building, and it started with our LEED certification. So the building has sustainable building materials, efficient fixtures and appliances, energy efficient systems. I already mentioned that our visitors have access to the train service to come to and from. So for us, it really truly is deeply embedded. We have a zero waste program. We have ambitious goals on sustainability that we're making promises that we will, you know, we're going to talk about in a little bit. Our framework that was launched at Sports Positive. So for us, it is deeply embedded. We are, you know, carbon. We have zero carbon emissions. There's so many, I can't even comprehensively put together an articulate sentence here on what it is, except that it just is where we believe deeply. It is a way of operating for us. It is not a burden. It is not an initiative. It is not a project. It is how we operate. So it is just what we do and how we think on a daily basis.
You know, listen, I think a lot of people who are in maybe their facilities managers, maybe their events operations directors might be listening to this thinking, you know, that's great, Kim, but where does it come from that sustainability is so important to the arena? Because I think, again, what we see globally is that sometimes it's business as usual. It's not done that way. It's very difficult to get these practices in place. You know, where do you think this ethos around sustainability comes from for you all at UBS Arena?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think it's a couple of things. One, we are disruptors in the facility industry, and we see ourselves as leading edge adopters. And so our leadership, especially Tim Wiewicki, sees in the future exactly what you were mentioning earlier. Artists are going to start more and more demanding this. You know, we saw Billie Eilish had a requirement in her rider. So as you mentioned, we're seeing it more and more, especially young artists are very interested in our sustainability efforts. So one, it's going to be good practice because artists are going to start to demand that there be some sort of real commitment to sustainability in the venues that they play. So number one, it's good for business. Number two, it's also good for business because our guests who come to UBS Arena are starting more and more, you know, they skew younger, and the younger demographic we know cares deeply about causes and social causes and response. They're very climate conscious and socially responsible, especially when it comes to sustainability. So we believe that this is where the industry is headed. And because we see it in the actions of the artists, we see it in what we hear from our guests. And so we believe in being on the cutting edge of these sorts of initiatives. And so we think this is good for business. And right now it might be, you know, costing us money in operations to do some of the initiatives that we are doing, but we feel like this is an investment in our future. We don't feel like this is a cost on our P&L. It's an investment in the future for us and making sure that we stay aligned with what the demands are of our artists and our guests.
Yeah, and I'm going to quote you on that, Kim, because I think a lot of conversations we have, again, it can feel as though people are all the time, especially if they're looking in the sort of shorter term, that they see sustainability as a cost center rather than a revenue generator or an investment long term. And I think for us, you know, it's what positive all of our work is around. It's the right thing to do. But actually, I think we have to get comfortable with the fact that the way we're going to get a lot of people to engage with this at the scale we need is to show that it's good business, to show that this is going to help you. This is going to give you a return on investment. And I think mm-hmm. that that's still a grapple for some people. So I love how eloquently and articulately you've put that together around the way you're thinking about this, because I think it's really helpful to have that leadership to show others that this is the train of thought, this is the way we're thinking, and this is how it's happening. So incredible to hear that. You mentioned briefly about some of the work in the past 2 years, but tell us a little bit more, you know, what's next? What does the sustainability journey for the arena look from here on in? You've got it embedded in your operations. You've got the railroad station, et cetera. So where do we go from here?
We don't rest on our laurels at UBS Arena or Oakview Group by any stretch of the imagination. So we have come out with what we call our sustainability framework, and it's themed around sustainable brilliance and community resilience. And what this is really doubling down and making promises about what we will achieve in the future. And it is our North Star for how we're going to continue to elevate and dedicate and invest in sustainability initiatives. And there's three keys to it. We call it nourishing our neighborhood, protecting our planet, and inspiring our industry. Because we do this not because we're trying to point a spotlight on ourselves. We do it to try and inspire others to follow along. And if somebody can look and see what we're doing, we have people come by and do tours of our buildings so that they can understand how we've started. We would welcome any of your audience to come take a tour, come meet with us, even if it's a virtual, and we're happy to explain how we've gotten to where we have on our journey. But back to the framework, this is our commitment over the next 5 years of what our goals are and what our initiatives are going to be and what we're striving to achieve. So it's the framework holds us accountable for our sustainability mission and doubles down on what we intend to do and what our plans are for the next 5 years to make a difference. Because in 5 years, what you and I started talking about today with the weather occurrences that we saw across the world this last summer, like imagine what those are going to be in 5 years. It's not getting easier. It's only getting more difficult. And it takes bold vision and bold movements. And we are a bold company that wants to move everybody forward, because we believe, like you, Claire, that sports is such a facilitator for change and a great way to do it. And we are holding ourselves, this framework holds us accountable for continuing that journey and making sure we're being the leaders in this industry.
Yeah. And I think what we saw this year in 2023 was, you know, often it doesn't have to happen on your doorstep. You know, the wildfire smoke from Canada drifting down to New York and impacting venues. You know, again, people think, oh, it's when it's on my doorstep. It's when people are doing outdoor sport. No, it can come from literally another country, and it can impact, you know, venue-based sports, because people have to travel to them and the air quality is too bad to encourage people to go out in that. So I think, as you've mentioned, we're only unfortunately going to see this get worse. And I think this year, although horrendous experiences have showed people where they think the dangers might come from aren't necessarily that. And as you said, we're going to see more of that. In terms of the pillars you mentioned, the one I'm interested to dig in a little bit with you is the nourishing our neighborhood, because although climate change is a global challenge, we know that the role we can take through sport is by activating locally and at a community level. So tell us a little bit more, you know. And also, by the way, I love the alliteration and the rhyming in all of your phrasing, because it makes it easy to remember it well. So props to whoever came up with that.
Right. Marketing is the key to everything. It has to be memorable. And so that's why we came up with the sustainable brilliance and community resilience. And let me start there, and then I will definitely get into the point about drilling into the nourishing our neighborhood. But for the sustainable brilliance and community resilience, we put a task force together in our company. And this was facilitated by Kristen Fulmer, who does a fantastic job for Oakview Group with our goal initiative. She's really spearheaded this effort to help us create this. And so what we did is we looked, the brilliance for us stands for the classic elegance that you see when you come to our building. We are definitely, our design directive and inspiration comes from all the classic New York things like Grand Central Station and some of the horse racetrack that's right next door to us. So anyway, so that's what the brilliance is. The resilience is just leaning on the strength of New Yorkers, right? Community resilience. New Yorkers are known for being, you know, very tough and very, very resilient and persevering. And we feel like that is exactly what it takes with sustainability. You have to have that grit. You've got to have that determination and just to persevere through. So that's where how we came about on the sustainable brilliance and community resilience aspect. And then getting to your question about the nourishing our neighborhood, this is about social impact. It's about our local community and how we can positively influence our wider network for good. It is really important. All of us that run venues know that we are a very central and integral part of any community, where the community comes together to laugh, to cry, to celebrate, to cheer. And so as a venue in New York, we feel like we have a responsibility to make sure that we're having a positive social impact. And so the nourishing the neighborhood is about that effort and keeps us focused and helps us remember that we have a commitment to our community that runs deep and is very, we want to make a change in the community.
That's great. And one thing I want to ask you about in regard to that is sort of how you know you're achieving that value. Because again, with the carbon stuff, the data stuff, you know, inside the venue, like that's quite easy to measure. And we all know you can't manage what you don't measure. But again, around some of these broader plans and the broader sort of achievements that you're looking for, struggle a little bit with saying like, this was worth doing. We achieved what we needed to. So how are you going to go about that in terms of sort of making sure you achieve the value that you set out to?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What gets measured gets managed, and we're big on that as well. And we want to have KPIs that hold ourselves accountable. So specifically in nourishing our neighborhoods, where it's about developing a community resilience plan. So one of the aspects or one of the actions that we'll hold ourselves accountable for is making sure that we have energy storage solutions for emergency situations. And we want to have that set up by 2030. So this isn't just about having energy storage solutions that keep UBS Arena running. This is about how can we help the community in times of crisis. You know, we live in an area in New York that was hit by Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, took a pretty big blow. And we understand how we might be able to help in terms of standing the community back up after those, going back to that resilience. So that's an example, one example of how we plan to achieve the value.
Fantastic. And the second pillar was protecting the planet. So obviously we're very into that, Kim, I can tell you. Protecting the planet is the gig. So tell us a little bit more about that pillar.
It's very bold to think that this little building in New York can protect the planet, right? Like this is, I recognize that some of your audience may say, what is this little building going to be able to do? And it's like the little engine that could. We just, again, it goes back to believing that we can make a difference. And so for us, this is about not only operating sustainably inside our building, but it's also about influencing outside the walls of our arena. One of the things we're going to announce next week is a sustainability forum with the governor's office here in New York. And so we're starting to bring together like-minded people and give them a forum so that we can ideate and brainstorm and then partner together to make a difference in a larger way outside of just our building and working with the state, because we all understand that this is important for all of us to do. So it's about not just working with inside our own building walls, but really expanding outside. And we're pretty excited about that. So we use protecting the planet because we feel like we would partner, you know, we would be open to partnering with people in Europe, Claire. You know, we're open to having conversations with others. Oakview Group in particular is establishing venues and opening a venue in Manchester, Vienna. There's some talks in Southeast Asia. There's talks about opening other venues in South America. We have one in Brazil as well. So our footprint for Oakview is broad and international. And so we feel like we can tap that and we can really make an impact on our planet. So it might seem, again, like this little bitty building called UBS Arena, you know, but this is through our broader network of Oakview Group. And then through having some key stakeholder and partnerships, we feel like we can really make a difference on outside of our four walls.
Yeah. And I think, why shouldn't we all have the lofty goal of playing our part to protect the planet? Yeah. I think that's critical. And I think especially within sport, I think we can inspire those connections and collaborations that you've mentioned with other stakeholders that will be very influenced by sport. Is, you know, I think it's a lofty goal, yes, but I think we should all have that goal for whatever part we can play in achieving that. So it's brilliant to hear a little bit more. And especially for me, crucially, you are bringing together the community around this, whether it's a you know, local and federal government or other stakeholders or perhaps other community leaders that are there, because we can't work in isolation. We want to use the power of sport, but essentially what we're all trying to do is use the power of sport to change society and change how things operate. So incredible to hear about that. And you know, I know as well, UBS Arena and the Gold Program and OVG, you're very hot on the kind of innovative, pushing the envelopes type stuff. So is there anything you want to sort of draw out that you feel you're doing that's particularly innovative within this sort of protecting the planet pillar?
Yeah, thank you for asking. We do. We want to maintain carbon neutrality for scope 1 and 2 emissions while measuring and reducing our scope 3 emissions by 25% under our 2022 baseline. And we want to do that by 2030. So we have ways that we're planning to do that. So you can see from that goal alone, like we are being very specific. We're on our goals. We want to make sure they're measurable. We want to make sure that people understand them and that there's a way to that we can see and watch our progress, measure our progress, and then know when we've hit success of that goal. So this is an example of what we think is a new and innovative, you know, not just to be carbon neutral in scope 1 and 2, but then also working to reduce scope 3. So we don't want to just do one. We want to go for all of them. It's sort of in our blood to really strive for these big, bold visions. And so that's what I think for us is one of the innovative goals under that pillar that we're excited about.
Awesome. And yeah, keep pushing the envelope. That's what it's all about for all of us. So the last pillar was inspiring the industry. I think, you know, based on what you've said already, I can kind of guess how that's going to manifest in terms of leading and trying to push the forefront. But, you know, tell us more about what that means to you when it comes to inspiring the industry.
Yeah, this is where we have to lean on like our vendors. So for example, all of our food and beverage items are compostable or recyclable, right? So we made our food and beverage provider go out and find materials that would meet those standards. And that meant that they were meeting with vendors and denying some of the larger vendors because they needed to find some of the more niche vendors to find something that really met the standard. You know, and didn't have plastic on it, didn't have, you know, coating and those sorts of things. So that's the type. Because we are adopting this approach, the people that work with us, the vendors that work with us, also have to adopt this approach and learn and grow. And so we feel that like this is how we are driving sustainable change through our value chain, and like making sure that if you work with us, you understand what we expect. And then that is slowly changing how some of our vendors and partners work with us, which then just, you know, continues to cascade into the community and through the industry itself. So I think that's where we see this one in particular continuing to help us inspire the industry is through that change. So as I said, we publicly are making these big statements and bold framework declarations, and we're partnering with people to hold forums, but we ourselves through our purchasing and our services that we're partners, we're making sure that they are also understanding and they are changing, and then that just cascades down.
Absolutely. And we see that, I think we're seeing that on both sides now. I think a lot of suppliers are looking to differentiate themselves and, you know, are doing great stuff in sustainability, which they want to partner with sport on. But we're also hearing more broadly, certainly at the last couple of years of the Sport Positive Summit, that more major sort of venues and sports organizers and rights holders, when they are getting sponsorship from brands, that brands are saying, what are you doing in sustainability? Because we have to report on these metrics and we have to partner. So I think that, again, just to highlight the power of sport, not just to influence change, but the fact that sport is going to be influenced by brands, sponsors and external influence as well. So it's great to hear about inspiring the industry goal. You mentioned you've obviously made these external commitments around protecting our planet. But again, in terms of this inspiring the industry, have you got thoughts about how you might hold yourself accountable or ensure you're sort of benchmarking and showing progress in this area? Because it's a little bit broader, it's a little bit more gray than sort of a net reduction that you can show the figures against.
Yeah, you know, and Claire, it's fair. What we're going to do, well, what we've done is we've said that we plan to hold 15 impact-focused events and have content by the end of 2025, right? So we're giving ourselves a year and a half to implement this one and have 15 impact-focused events. And we didn't specify exactly what those events would be because in the next year and a half, things are going to change dramatically. I mean, it just does. That's what life happens in the world. Everything changes. And so we wanted to leave some flexibility for what we would, you know, absolutely do in these areas. So it's not me wiggling out of a commitment. What it is it's us giving ourselves flexibility to be able to go where we see a need. We may find a partner that's, you know, really deeply engaged and, you know, is in a section of the industry that we didn't even think about, and we might dig in deep with them. So we're going to hold ourselves accountable by putting a number, the 15 impact focused events by the end of 2025. But what those events are, what the content is, what the programming, we have flexibility to choose partners. We have flexibility to talk about the content. And I think that gives us the ability to respond to what the market needs and what the industry needs, instead of preordaining what we think is going to be the right things to do. Like, we wanted to give ourselves some flexibility here to really, because we're not trying to dictate to the market. We're trying to inspire the market and the industry.
So then we've heard so much about this brilliant framework around protecting our planet and nourishing our neighborhood and inspiring our industry. And obviously a huge amount of work has gone in to the program. You've mentioned again, if we recap, you know, you're the president of the arena, your GM's highly involved. If people are listening to this and they're like, this all sounds amazing, Claire, good for UBS Arena, they're brilliant, you know, good luck to them. But here am I, and it's not really on our agenda. We haven't got that top level buy-in yet, perhaps, or maybe we have, but we're still working our way through how this is going to work. I'd love it just to finish up this sort of section about the great work that's happening. If you've got thoughts or learnings or advice for people who are at venues and arenas, stadia, who are on this journey through this process you've been through in bringing this framework together, I'd love if you've just got some nuggets of wisdom as well on this, Kim, to finish up.
Sure, absolutely. I'm happy to, and I've enjoyed our time. So I think there's probably three key things that I would suggest. One is just get started. You're listening to this podcast, you're already a step ahead because you're already looking for inspiration. You're trying to learn from industry best practices. So number one is just get started. Whatever that small amount can be, maybe it's starting a composting at your venue. You know, just start small, right? And just get started. If you've already started to do some sustainability initiatives, which many venues have and many sports teams have, one way to level up that what you're already doing is to partner with people like Sport Positive, like Goal. Find the experts out there who are willing to work with you and guide you and help inspire you, and somebody who can look ahead and say, these are things you should consider to do. So find a good sustainability partner, a good sustainability group. Maybe you're part of an association that has a group where you can come together. The coming together and sharing ideas is where and how the world gets changed. And so having a sustainability partner, you know, is key. And then I would say, you know, be proud, like find other champions internally, because you have to get the buy-in internally. You also have to get the buy-in from your executive team as well. So going back to step one, which was just get started. When you get started, hopefully you can get started with a program that then inspires your executive level of your organization to support that. And here, what do I mean by that? So in Miami at Kasaya Center, we were not initially very interested in sustainability, and it's just because it wasn't as hot of a topic as it is now. And so what we started out with was just, you know, baling our cardboard and, you know, doing some aluminum and plastic recycling. It was very basic. But what was interesting is we started to talk with our paper supplier who had gotten LEED certification, and we started to have those conversations, and we started to realize that there was some low-hanging fruit that we could do. And then we started along that journey, and then we realized, hey, there's this amazing thing called LEED certification. We have all the criteria. We think we could do this, and we did. And then all of a sudden, we found some corporate partners who said exactly what you said, Claire. The corporate partners are going to say, hey, what are you doing for sustainability? And we said, this is what we're doing. And they said, we're in. And so they signed up. So it's those three things, Claire. One, get started. Two, you know, find other folks like Sport Positive, like Goal, that can help level up how you're thinking and what you're ideating and what you see the future of. And then the third is make sure that you're getting your internal executive team, you know, keeping them aware of what you're doing and how, what the return is. And then make sure your folks that are outward facing with guests and your partners, your corporate partners, know the story of what you were doing, so that when they're in those meetings and a corporate partner says, hey, I'd like to know about what you're doing for sustainability, they can articulate it. And I think those are the three components that I think start to create that flywheel and get that momentum going for you. And understand that it's not a straight line to the top. It's like anything in life. It's got its ups and downs, but stick through those downs, because we need everybody to commit to doing a little bit. If everybody does a little bit, we will change the crisis we are facing in terms of the climate crisis. And it's all through these sustainability. So I welcome anybody to reach out to us. We're happy to share. We're happy to be one of those partners. I can't say enough about the good work you and Sport Positive are doing and how you inspire. You know, thank you for this opportunity to be on today and sort of share our story and our journey. And we're happy to share our story and our journey with anybody else.
Well, there's an open invitation for everyone now. And you're like, again, even listening to you talk and your energy and your passion, you know, it's infectious, isn't it? So why is it so important to you? Where does it stem from for you on a personal level?
It really comes from some visits. My sister lives in Seattle in the Pacific Northwest, and she has been, I went and visited her once, and I had to sort my composting, all my trash had to be composting, it had to be cardboard, and then there could be trash, right? And what I saw is the different sizes for the disposal, right? The trash cans. The trash can was the smallest, the compost was one of the bigger ones, and the cardboard was definitely the biggest, just because it's so clunky, right? So across those three, I was like, this is where the future is going. This is what we need to do. And then you hear these stories too about the climate change. Like you said, I was in New York. I smelled the smoke from the Canadian wildfires. I was in San Francisco when the wildfires in California devastated that state and turned the sky orange. And it was just this scary. So I've been in areas that have seen the impact of climate change. I live in Miami, so I've got hurricanes that come through here, and that, you know, the velocity of those. You saw that one that went overnight, went from like a category one to a category five, simply based on the water temperatures. And you see the coral has now been bleached white because of the temperature, the highest temperature ever in the oceans. It is having these profound impacts, and we are in a position to make a difference and make a change. Not to mention, I have a 13-year-old who I want to leave the world in a better place, because he's going to outlive me, and I want him to not have to deal with the fallout of because my generation wasn't good stewards of it. I want us to make a difference for them.
Fantastic. Well, I think we all want that. I think it's incredible to hear, you know, personally and professionally, how you feel about things and the work that you're doing. And it's such a pleasure. I feel as though there's so much rich content in this discussion that we've had for other venues, stadia, arena, but also anyone in sport really who's going on this journey of the way to think about things, the way to break things down, you know, the differences that you can make, the benefits that it can bring. I think there's just so much in there. So I'm really, really grateful for you taking the time, Kim, as a very, very, very busy individual, to chat to us more about the work that you're doing and raise awareness around that. So from Kim and myself, that was the Climate of Sport podcast. Kim, thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thanks for listening to the Climate of Sport podcast. Please like and subscribe and get in touch if you want to share information about the work that you're doing, if you want to appear as a guest or you want to recommend guests, or you just have ideas of conversations you'd like us to have. You can get in touch by emailing info@sportpositivesummit.com.